Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside. Get ready to believe that you can have it all. Time for yourself, the kids, your marriage, and your business. My name is Amy Wine. I am a Jesus-loving married mom, CEO, professional counselor, marriage therapist, peak performance business strategist, and believer in keeping it real. Real life, real relationships, real people. I help overwhelmed CEOs design a life they can't wait to wake up to each day. Each episode, I meet you right where you are with time-tested tools and strategies that you can find clarity on who you are and all the hats you wear and live your life authentically on purpose. This is real life, raw, sometimes ugly, other times wonderful and fun. And I cannot promise you that this work is easy. But I could tell you it is totally worth it. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hey, good morning. I have John back on the podcast today, so all of his fans are going to be very happy.
I'm back in black like AC/DC.
Oh my God, that was cheesy. So tell me about your week. What have you been up to? I feel like I haven't seen you.
Working hard, scratching out a living.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it.
Taking care, get started ready for the holidays and all the crazy that comes with that.
Uh-huh. Okay, so right now, I feel like we went right back into your task list, and there is no emotion behind any of that.
That's great. I'm very focused right now. I'm very task-oriented and completely focused on that.
Okay, so today, folks, we're going to checklist this podcast right on out so that John feels comfortably in his spreadsheet.
That is awesome.
Are you going to ask me how my week was?
Amy, how was your week?
It sucked.
Yep.
That's about all the emotion I have.
What was the worst suckage?
I think dealing with just different personalities. and sometimes they come back at you when you least expect it. And you really don't want to hear it and don't want to deal with it and just go on about your life. So sometimes you just got to pause and deal with the junk. And sometimes that just sucks. I'm not even talking about you this time, so you're in the clear.
I know. It's tough. And when you find out you're not only responsible for yourself, but kind of responsible for others and taking on that challenge, it can be a little overwhelming, especially this time of year.
Absolutely. All right. So I think part of my stress this week is we're getting closer to the holidays, and I've seen an increase in stress at my office, not just with my clients, but with the staff as well. I think we tend to be really busy at this time of year at the office, and everybody's emotions are heightened, which is also heightening all of ours, which is creating some more conflict. So I just think it's a hard time of year for many. And then in working with couples, I know that every couple I've worked with, we've had the conversation of what's getting ready to happen for the holidays. Have you made a plan? Have you talked about your wants versus your spouse's wants? How it all fits together, extended family, friends, all the obligations and the things. And what I'm finding is overall, everybody just kind of ignores the conversation. And they go straight into the holiday and conflict happens because nobody has had the conversation of what to do in the chaos.
Yeah, that's right. I don't go into these things trying to, certainly I don't back down from conflict, but I certainly don't seek conflict. And I know this time of year is around our house because of our situation with parents living, both of our parents living hours away
in other states
by vehicle, and, you know, even quite a few hours away by plane. This time of year becomes a very delicate balancing act, of which, of course, as you well know, I have failed at many times in the past.
Okay, at least you said it. So can we talk about that? How do you feel you failed at this? Because I know for us, it is a balancing act and it's hard to please everyone. And I have some theories on how this should work that I've learned in marriage counseling, but I haven't even broached them with you. But tell me, how do you think you failed?
Well, as you've pointed out so eloquently in the past, and I do believe it is, it's really been in the event to please, try to please everybody, it usually ends up just making everybody mad. As I said, I don't seek out the conflict. I try to please everybody. I want everybody to be happy. So I either set false expectations or don't set proper boundaries coming up to this, which then leads to confusion and people's feelings getting hurt and all kinds of conflict down the road.
And do you think that's because, like, you're avoiding the conflict, so you just don't have the conversations?
No, I avoid the initial conflict, which would probably be minor, and then due to indecisiveness or trying to, like I said, please everybody, I create a major world war out of something that probably could have been handled diplomatically right from the start.
Yeah. So what are you going to do different this year?
Well, this year, as you said, I think it's very good to start very early in the process and set some expectations and some clear expectations and boundaries. And while at the same trying as best we can be fair to all the parties involved, right?
Yeah. How do you feel like you fared so far in setting boundaries and expectations with family?
This year, a lot better. As you know, my parents lived up in Ohio for, you know, since we've been married, and I have a very small family. I'm an only child.
Of two only children.
Right. So the expectation was, maybe unselfishly, especially on mother's part, that because we had such a small family and Amy had such a bigger family and they were a little bit closer, the expectation was that we just always had to come to Ohio for all the holidays, not just Christmas, but I mean for all the holidays. And if that didn't happen, then there was conflict.
Yeah. I remember the first, well, I want to say though, before I start that, I didn't put up much of a boundary with that myself. So I'm part of that conflict because I didn't say that it was important for me to go to my family. It just became what we did, right? And I think because of where I was when I was younger in my 20s with my family, I was a little, not estranged, but I don't know. I just tried to avoid certain things as well because it was hard. So it just became what we did. And then I remember that we told your parents up there that we weren't coming back for Christmas because we were going to go see my grandma. And this was extremely important to me. And I remember your mom getting so mad about that. And I get it because we'd always done the same thing. And I don't think I handled it well. I remember she tried to talk to me in a restaurant. And this was in crazy Amy days in her 20s when Amy didn't have a filter. And all I thought was, if you think you're going to do this with me in a restaurant and I'm going to remain calm and quiet, think again. Because I'll embarrass everybody right along with us. And I'm pretty sure I did.
Right. So, I mean, that expectation had been set early on.
For years.
It had never been a problem very early on in our marriage. And then so when it did come to a change, it was quite a major conflict there during the initial period.
Yeah, because I was taking their baby away.
Exactly.
That's how it was viewed.
Exactly.
So we've come a long way from that, but I would even say it's only been the past few years that we've done better. But I still feel the stress of trying to please all the people, like even this year, like the logistics, because your mom is older now and it's harder for her to travel. But getting five of us to Ohio with all of our other schedules and I mean, we have a pig, for God's sake, that we have to handle for FNA.
Farm animals are now in the equation.
I mean, that was never there before. But I feel that stress of certain schedules are expected to be kept.
Right. So we've created, tried to either share the holidays or, you know, rotate the holidays or split it up, wiped out. Now, in our defense, I think we are doing a better job of it. And in our defense, too, for example, my mother, she's older, but she's still very independent. But that is her choice. We have offered to let her bring her much closer to us.
Yes.
And start a life down here in Houston closer to us. And she has made the choice. That's not what she wants to do. Well,
right.
That's fine. And that's good. But that was her choice. So she needs to understand that her choices have consequences, positive and negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair if she chooses to do that to then project that or cause that conflict or to put that issue back onto us during these times of year when there's already a high stress level. I think she's coming to grips with that, but it hadn't been easy and it took a while, right?
Right. And I think we're still dreading the conversations coming up a little bit.
Let's have the conversation. It's always tough coming, but the good news is once everybody gets here, mm-hmm. it's usually pretty good. It's just the stress of getting, it's just the stress of traveling. Traveling's stressful. Anytime,
absolutely.
Regardless.
And I certainly understand her perspective of not wanting to be alone. But at the same time, I want to see my family.
Right.
But I think it's just hard. I think I feel the pre-stress of the conversations because I never know how they're going to go and how much stress they're going to be. But I also will say this year's better because, in honesty, I've never trusted you to have the conversations properly.
Right. Well, not properly and early enough. So
the
biggest thing is this boundary setting and the setting of expectations early on in the process. And for years, you had said that, and I was kind of giving lip service to it, and I said I would do it, but I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up, as you predicted, causing major issues for several years.
Yeah.
Now that we've addressed it earlier, we've set the expectations all through the holidays of who, what, where.
Mm-hmm.
We always make sure that we spend time with everybody, but if this is how it's going to go down,
right?
Then yes, somebody may not be exactly about it. There may be,
exactly happy about it.
Exactly happy about it, but at least that's where it ends.
It's
usually very minor, and then we go on, and it doesn't blow up in anything major beyond that.
Absolutely, and when I say properly, I want to clarify. You weren't doing it properly how I wanted you to do it because I was trying to control your conversations because I found that not having them was a problem, but I also should have let you handle it in whatever way you see fit. So when I see couples now in counseling, this is something I'm really big about telling them is, and some of it's from our experience, but a lot of it's because I've done a lot of research on this. The core family, for our listeners, I want them to know this too. The core family has to be a priority. And I mean the husband, wife, kids. That's the core family. So like you and I and our children is the core family. And it is okay to set boundaries around what our core family needs when it comes to extended family, right? Now, I'm not talking about being selfish, 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 because we have to give a lot to make things work. Just with the logistics of our families being out of state. But at the same time, if it's not easy for us to travel with five and it's easier for them to travel with one, then that's a boundary we can set. Does that make sense?
Mm.
Now, I know there's coming a time as your mom gets, because she's elderly, she's not going to be able to, and we're going to have to shift. And I hope is she'll move closer so this isn't
right.
an issue.
Yeah.
But that's different subject of dealing with elderly parents and aging parents that I think we all have eventually. But at the same time, because of some of our children's special needs, traveling is difficult, especially in their younger years, right? So I always tell everybody, think about what your core family needs
And sometimes that may mean you aren't seeing your extended family, even if that's hard. Like if you have to take a break or there's something heavy going on, it's okay to be selfish a little bit about that, but still understanding to everybody else, right? But the key is you've got to have the conversations with them. So for instance, I like to have the day after Christmas through New Year's with no family, your family, my family, no family, because that is the one week of year I like to connect with just the core of us. And it's really the only week we have. Now with our kids going into college, that's even more so, right? Because they're just not there. But that's one week I know that I can count on. It's also the one week a year I take to not work and decompress. That's very important to me. But I know that's come with a price too, because our families haven't always been understanding about it. I do feel like when we've been more upfront, it's been better. This year, I do know we're going to give a little bit and we're going to travel to Oklahoma to see my family. And that's on December 28th. And because they're a big family, I have no say over the date. And logistically, we can't go before because the kids don't even get out of school till the Friday before Christmas. So there's really no time then either. But that's a choice I'm willing to make and adjust. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's all about, again, setting the proper boundaries, boundaries. And
right.
Then beyond that, obviously, there's always compromises. You can make compromises or certain circumstances that come up. You can't draw a hard line in the sand because things do change. There are certain circumstances. Mm-hmm. For example, your circumstance this year.
Yes.
With your family wanting to do a Christmas for the entirety of that side, you know, in between that week of New Year's and Christmas. So we have chosen to spend this Christmas with my mother, and then we will have to take that time in between to spend it with your family.
Right. Yeah. It's just not easy dealing with it. The extended family.
Obviously, you know, my mother, you know, there is compromise because it's not all expenses. My mother obviously would like to spend more time after Christmas with us. But unfortunately, that's the compromise that she had to make this year because we are not going to be there because we are having to travel to see your family.
Right.
In that time slot.
Yes.
But going back, that expectation has been set for a couple months now. So it's not a shock. It's not, you know, we've had everybody's dialed into the plan. So we've set that boundary. We know what the schedule is. Everybody knows what's coming up. So it's not a shock to the system when, you know, we say, okay, let's go here, whatever, right?
Yeah. And let me say this to you. I think I feel very much priority to you this year. Not that I haven't in past, but very much so this year, because I think you've heard me and maybe I've said things differently. I've tried, but I feel like a priority to you and protected by you, where I think for many years of our marriage, I did not feel that way, especially around the holidays. I felt like it was kind of whatever the parents wanted was what was going to happen. And Amy be damned. But I also know that I didn't handle things well, and I probably came across very aggressive instead of saying how I felt. So I just wanted you to know, I feel pretty, even though it's not ideal still, I feel protected and priority to you this year.
Yep. And the other issue, or along those lines, what would come up is, again, my other issue is I would either set, especially with my parents, a lot of times I would set over the years either false or vague expectations. And that goes back to, you know, setting the boundary, being upfront, truthful about what needs to happen, explain why it needs to happen. Usually any reasonable person will understand that.
Right.
This year, my mother, you know, wanted us to come up there, which we were talking about doing, but then we quickly realized that with my oldest daughter in school not getting out, and the way our kids' schedule were, and the way your travel schedule is on that following Sunday, you need to leave. There was just no way that we could make that work going up there. Next year, you know, we'll try to make that work.
Right.
Hopefully, if the schedules are out. But again, but that expectation was set very early on. In the past, I might have said, yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Or, you know, because I knew that I didn't want to, like, cause, like, you're not coming, or, oh, you know, I didn't want to hear that. So I was, again, the conflict of it or whatever. So I would either deflect, set a vague expectation, or just to be able to get off the phone and say, you know, dodge that conversation for another week. And all I was doing is setting myself up for failure, setting people up for hurt feelings and all that down the road.
Right.
And,
well, and it was causing conflict on the backside.
Yeah. And then you were mad that I wasn't
addressing it
and getting it, you know, taken care of in a timely fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said I would. And a lot of times I didn't. Right.
Absolutely.
And it comes right up to where, you know, it's a deadline on making flight reservations and all that. And you finally have to say, 2 weeks out, well, looks like we're not coming now. You're going to, you know, and they just, you know, then right. let the pandemonium begin. Right.
Right. Cause then they're mad. I'm still mad. Yeah. Everybody's mad. And you're what the hell?
The only one that's not mad at me is the dog.
Right. You know? Molly's with us today, but she's like dead asleep. You might've heard a groan earlier. I promise that was not our stomachs. That was the dog groaning cause she's sleeping. All right. So I want to tell the people listening, it's your core family is who the conversation has to happen with. And that's your priority, your number one priority. Because what I see is the same thing we have done. We have put our extended families, especially parents, as the priority of who gets to say what's going to happen. And we haven't aligned with our spouse on that. And you guys may be in total agreement with your spouse, but at the same time, you got to have the conversation. So first, it's your core family. And then there's a rule that needs to be followed, because I think there was a time I tried to handle your parents because you didn't do it. And that really blew up in my face. So your parents, your problem. My parents, my problem. Right? I can't handle yours. You can't handle mine. So you've got to split that. So especially if you're in a relationship marriage right now where your spouse controls everything, like I did for many years, and I see this all the time. Every couple I'm seeing right now, I've had this conversation. You can't handle that for your spouse. They can't handle it for you. So your parents, your problem. Core family, your parents, your problem.
Yeah, and I know this is not unique to us, right?
No, absolutely.
It's funny because I have several people my age at work whose children are a little older, and they have just recently been married and picked up, you know, now they're married, and this situation of the holidays comes up, and I hear it both male and female. You know, the stories, and it can come from, again, some of it dates back to the difference in relationship that each one of those people had with their parents.
Absolutely. Which happens with
us. Like early on, you were kind of, like you said, semi-estranged from your side of the family. So
right.
It was a very easy conversation. We just always went to do whatever. I have a similar situation at work where I have a friend that's confided in me that she's very upset because her new son's wife, again, the holidays apparently in their side of the family weren't that celebrated of a thing. So she does not want his parents, you know, in the holidays. She does not want to have to do anything. Basically, she just wants it between she, you know, her son and her.
Oh.
And they want to do, she wants to do their own little private thing for Christmas and not exclude.
And exclude everyone.
Yeah, just exclude everyone. Like, it's not, the holidays are meant for those two. Like you said, the core only. And they need to go do their own thing, right? And it's not sitting well with his side of the family.
I
could tell there's some tension there, right? So it's again, It's not a unique thing, and I know that happens a lot, right?
Well, there has to be some compromise, and that's where I put that caveat in there, is don't just be selfish about it. If you want to spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with just your spouse and your core family, okay. But there's got to be a time, if there's extended family, that you're making that effort. Exactly. And maybe you say, I want it to be our core for this, but hey, New Year's or January 14th, I don't care, is when we're going to come spend time with you. Because that's got to be important to you. You cannot just exclude them all and be that selfish, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be that day, but at some point.
Well, I guess if both of you felt that way, it would be, you know.
Yes, that is key.
Right?
And if you don't.
And again, kind of like me, if the guy, let's just say the guy in this situation is kind of like John and didn't really set that boundary with their spouse about expectations or including the family or whatever, and maybe stuff that didn't say anything, it's fine, I guess, if you're both into that thought process. But if one's not, you stuff that, it's going to create conflict, right?
Problems, resentfulness, right, and all of that. Now, I would like to blame you for all the years I missed holidays with my family, but I can't, because that was solely my decision, because of whatever was going on with me and not wanting to address it. But I think I could have blamed you and said, well, your parents always expect us there, right? And made that my excuse of why. But at the end of the day, I still made the choice to not fight the fight, right? Or have the conflict or the conversation or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was quiet about that. So I think if I had come in to you and said, no, we're not going to go see your parents, blah, 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 because back then that's how I would have spoke. Like, we're not going to go do that. We're going to my family. Suck it up. You probably wouldn't have wanted to have the conflict with me. So you probably would have done it, honestly. You would have had the conflict with your mom and your dad. You would have avoided it, but they're further away, right? So that's an easier conflict to have. But how would that have made you feel over time?
Oh, for sure. Very resentful.
Yeah, I think it's a bigger problem.
You know, that, you know, in the years, you know, since my dad's passed and all that, absolutely, we don't know how that could have manifested itself after his passing. It felt like, well, I didn't get to spend the time with him that I should have, you know, especially, you know, in the holidays and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I think that would have.
That comes back, you know, later and manifests itself. It's probably not a positive thing.
Yeah, I think that would have been a big deal for us. Like, that would have been probably talking about the big D word or something, because I can tell you, when my grandma passed last year, all that guilt from all those years of not making an effort to go see her during the holidays hit me like a ton of bricks. But the only person I had to blame was me. Like, you never stopped me from it. I just never had the conversation.
Right.
So speaking of conversation, when let's wrap this up, what are some questions that couples need to have with their spouse? One, they've got to work with their core family, deal with their own family, your parents, your problem. And then what questions do they need to be asking each other? Because especially in most of the couples I see, we have one partner that's controlling it and sometimes angry, and the other one that withdraws and doesn't say anything. They got to have a voice, right? Even if their partner gets mad. But how can we ask each other these hard conversations? Because it does get tense when we're talking about our families and what we've always done.
Well, first, I think you need that. Like you said, you've got to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stuff it.
Right.
Whatever is decided, whatever the rules of engagement or whatever the decisions are made, they need to be compromising and fair.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's kind of like buying a car.
Oh, Lord.
If you feel like, you know, if everybody feels like they got kind of taken the deal, you don't feel like the dealer got, you got the best deal and the dealer thinks he got or she got, you know, didn't get, you know, got ripped off, then it's probably a good deal, right? It's probably, you're walking away. It was probably a fair compromise, right? At the end of the day, so it's got to be fair. It's compromise. And again, the boundaries need to be set.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be set early enough that you can plan accordingly.
Right. People are going to be listening to it after that and go, well, hell, I should have used this a couple weeks ago. And if our planning was better, we probably would have. But honestly, you still got Christmas and a whole month of things to deal with, so you could still make it right. So ask your spouse, what are your desires and your thoughts of how the holidays should be handled? How should we go into them? Like, what do you need? And then say what I need, right? But really hear each other. So ask a lot of what questions. What do you need from me during the holidays? So for instance, what do you need from me during the holidays? What do you need from me?
Well, I need you to be understanding. I need you to be compromising. And after that, I think we can play it by ear.
Okay. So go ahead.
We supportive in some of the decisions that I make, right?
Yeah, even when I don't agree with them.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm learning to bite my tongue. It's damn hard.
It is hard.
It is so hard, but that's okay. I'm learning. But what do I need from you during the holidays would be different. I need you to be aware of me and not pay attention to everyone else but me and let me get lost. I need you to walk by me and touch me or give me a kiss on the cheek and let me know you haven't forgot me in the kitchen. I need to not be alone sitting next to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I need to know the focus hasn't went everywhere else. That's what I need. I need you to be honest with your mom about things sooner than later and set that expectation. That's what I've needed, right? You've done that. So that's a good question to ask each other. And then another way of asking it is, how can I support you better, right? And it's almost the same question. It could have a different answer. What does the perfect holiday scenario look like to you would be a good question, right? Just know each other's worlds is going to help lessen the conflict. And remember, hearing and agreeing are two different things. You can hear what your spouse would love to have happen. You don't have to agree with them, but don't attack either. Just hear them and let them hear you. Then you compromise.
Yeah, you make up a valid point. You know, in my, you know, the way I, especially around the holidays, since I'm kind of a deeds of service people, I do have an issue of trying to do everything, a lot of things for a lot of people, and forget about you and what's going on, and to make sure you're included, to make sure you're okay sitting over there, and what's going on with you. I do have a tendency to forget that, and I have to make a conscientious effort to bring myself back in there and check on you.
Right. Yeah, because deeds of service is not my love language.
Exactly.
So the fact that you're cooking Thanksgiving dinner, I'm really trying to feel it on a love level, but I'm not.
Exactly.
Now, when I offered to make the salad of the pumpkin pies, did you feel that on a love level?
I do. I did. I felt like that was off my plate. I didn't have to stress about that. It's my weakest link in the kitchen.
Yeah, because you're really good at the turkey.
I'm good at the main dishes, but some of the other stuff, I'm weak.
I could feel your stress when we were going over the grocery list, and I've just passed it on because of my work schedule and travel schedule right now is crazy. And we flipped roles a little bit. Right. So it's taking a doing, but I was like, okay, I can really suck it up and do these two things. And it's going to like make him feel like he hung the moon. So
awesome.
There you go, baby. I did that just for you. All righty. That wraps up today's episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And while you're there, it would mean the world to me if you would take just a few seconds and leave me an honest rating and review. You can find all the links and information mentioned in this episode at www.amywine.com. Please share your episodes with your friends and don't forget to tag me on Instagram at amywineco. Thanks for listening, and I will meet you here again next week. Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance?
just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're going to tackle real life marriage challenges. From reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection, we're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're going to find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com. And let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.